Oh, praise the Lord. I just want to say, if you feel like you're going to get into trouble doing something like worshiping like a crazy person, like, because I do that all the time, it's a religious spirit. So that's how you can identify the religious spirit really quick. If you walk into a church and you go, ooh, I think I'm going to get in trouble, it's the religious spirit, okay? And I know that just because I grew up in a very strict home, my parents loved us. I mean, there was no huge discipline. We just didn't go to movies. I couldn't try out for cheerleader, you know, all that kind of stuff. I couldn't wear certain things. You know what I mean? It was pretty strict. My parents were pastors, and so I learned early on how to work alongside the religious spirit, and that's really true. Not that my parents had that. I just am saying, you get into a church that operates alongside of it. One day, I was talking to Jesus about it, and I was like, Jesus, I hate that, because I go in, because I work with a lot of different churches, and so the first thing I ask is, do you speak in tongues from the mic? Because that's a big deal. There's a difference. Some churches will let you speak in tongues outside of the mic, and some will let you speak in this. And if they say yes to on the mic, they are not operating in a religious spirit. It's pretty obvious. I mean, that's typically. Okay, now it's not always true, but typical. But if you get into a place and they're like, okay, there's this, and this rule, you know, you're operating alongside a religious spirit, which is okay. They're just, you know what, they're in a place and I can operate with that. I can be of authority and under authority. I can pay it and honor the leadership because I want the kids, which they have given me permission to be with, not to operate with the religious spirit, and to begin to operate under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in a crazy way. I mean, I want them to really get it, and they do. In fact, they raised a dog from the dead. We haven't raised a person from the dead yet that I know of, but you know what? We've prayed for thousands of kids, and so maybe even in other countries they have raised people from the dead. I just don't know about it yet. That's what they mean by signs and wonders following you. Signs and wonders follow you, and you may never know what the sign and the wonder was that followed you, but it's there, and we'll know in heaven. I don't have to know. It doesn't do me any good. It does, but it doesn't, you know. I don't need any, you know, I don't need any thank yous or whatever. So we just pray every praise to our God. So religious spirit, we don't want to operate along with that. Let me just give you another identifier. If there's a whole lot of correcting going on, oh, let me correct you on that. Or instead of a loving prophetic word, you get this correction word. Okay, let me tell you what the religious spirit is. So I started to say this. One day I was talking to Jesus about, I know I'm going to go into this church. Lord, please help me. I know I'm going to run into that thing that makes me feel like I'm getting into trouble. And he said, Stephanie, the religious spirit is a demon. And I went, oh, duh. So I can cast it out, right? I can say, no, I'm not going to operate alongside it. But there are other people that have free will as well. And so I have to operate, still have to operate under authority. I'm of authority, but under authority. And I have to operate in humility and love them regardless. We get into places in other countries, especially where certain theology's been taught. And God bless some of these churches who've gone in and taught the Word of God. It's so brilliant. But we want to honor what they've been taught so that we aren't running over the leadership or the missionaries who've given everything for that group of people. We want to be so careful. We're all part of the kingdom. We got to love people. We don't love the demon. And we can bring bring loving alignment to the Word of God without being even corrective sounding. I can say, wait a minute. Let's see, didn't the mother of Mary speak in tongues? Didn't all of the disciples speak in tongues? Shouldn't I? I mean, if they're my example, shouldn't I? Didn't Saul? Didn't David? So You know, we can bring in just with a question. That's really the best way. I keep looking at these doors. I want you to look at these doors. These are shaker doors. Okay, so the Pentecostal, wonderful Quaker people made shaker doors. The top, obviously, is the cross. The bottom is the word. Isn't that powerful? Those things are across the United States, okay, in homes all over the place. So we can declare, Lord, the testimony of the Shakers, the testimony of the Quakers, come in into that home in Jesus' name. Is that awesome? I always knew the cross was up there, but I never could figure out the bottom part. And then finally, I was reading history, and I went, oh, the word, absolutely. So, Lord, open the word in every home across America that has Quaker doors. Right now, we just ask, Lord, that the word of God would be open because it's on their doors. It's an open door to the word of God. So we just say, yes, open the doors. Isn't that powerful? Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to be real obedient to the Holy Spirit this morning. All right. Praise the Lord. We had a great dream. Mary, do you want to come and let's do that first? Let's kick off with that. Yeah, John's dream. John had a dream, and he's out with the men. But this is such a powerful dream. We all need to hear it. So this was last night. How many dreamed last night? We do have some dreams from last night. Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we have a testimony, too.
Okay, we'll do the testimony next. Okay, good. Okay.
So John had a dream last night. He was at a gas station with our son, David. And you put cash into the pumps, and you get gifts out. And so he was putting cash into these gas pumps, and he was getting these gifts, and he would open these gifts, and there would be art supplies. He's an artist. And so he would have other gifts in these gifts, too.
Right, so he'd open the gifts, and then there would be other gifts inside.
And besides the art supplies, and then he would trade them with other people so he can get more art supplies. And they kept running to different pumps to put in a couple dollars, and these gifts would come out, and they were so excited to open them up and see what was in there. And it was just very happy. They were both very excited, and it was
trying to find more dollars.
He woke up immediately and told me, he's like, Mike, that's a good dream. We got to tell it today.
That's so good.
And I forgot he wasn't going to be here.
That's so good. So that's a corporate dream, I believe, for all of us. It's for him. Do you see what I mean? Dreams can be layer. But it was for him specifically because he is an artist. I'm still just a little hot on over here. But the thing is that he is an artist that fits his personality perfectly. I already talked to him about this and gave him the interpretation earlier. But what I love was it's a gas station, a filling station, which is kind of where we all are right now. Yeah. We're at a filling station, and this is where we get gassed. Things of the Holy Ghost. We get filled up. But he was just putting in a couple of dollars. It wasn't like a major investment. And I said, okay, well, I want to make sure I'm not offering-oriented here because it's not about the money you put in. It's about that you are investing just a couple of bucks. Two, which I loved two. He did two, which is a witness, which says that same thing that I just talked about. We agree on earth for what God is doing in heaven, and our witness is two. We agree with Jesus, right? We agree with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which is one God. We agree, and we are in agreement. You know, it says where one or two are gathered together in agreement, there I am. So it only takes me and Jesus. We're a majority, and so that there's your witness. The gifts within the gifts. We all get gifts. What I love that with art supplies, that's like creativity coming down. So grab on to that. If this is you, if you want more creativity, listen. We need to have the most inventions come out of this meeting. We need to have full-on inventions. Do you know the MRI machine was because of a dream? Do you know that E equals MC squared? Einstein dreamed that. With a series of 18 dreams. Is something happening? Oh, that's so good. praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just give you glory for showing up like that. That's so good. That's so good. You seers will see it. So thank you, Lord. I just give you glory right now. We just thank you. That's a promise of covenant. I mean, he is our covenant. Notice our rainbow has seven. Their rainbow only has six. They're not under covenant. We are. They will be. We are calling them into true covenant, okay? There's another flag. We don't go with that one. But they only have six colors on it. So whenever you can, there's your identifier. That's flesh. That's six. Yeah, the number of man is six. So seven is the number of perfection. We agree with that rainbow, right? It's ours. It was ours first. And we're not giving it up. So I'm really thankful for whoever put that into six. I'm like, good job. You didn't get our rainbow. First I was really mad. And then I was like, no, they didn't get ours. they didn't even think of that. All right. That was God. What else in there? What else in there, Mary? There was going to different filling stations. I love, because they were trading the gifts, because we all have, I love this because it's a body dream. It's like you have a gift, I have a gift, I can exchange, I can give you what I know, you can give me what I sat there with John, we talked, it wasn't theology, but it was theology, and it was just like this give and take of, and Mary, we were just talking about this give and take of good, strong, solid word of God, and it was powerful. And so we all, I'm sure all of you are participating in that kind of thing, right? Right now, we're just going to give and take, and so be ready to hear, be ready to give, right? And then it seems like there was something at the very end. David, I love that his son's name is David, which is your son's, but beloved one. I mean, that could be Jesus, son of David.
Right.
But it, and John could, like he did yesterday, represented Jesus. So, you know,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, that's right. During the millennial reign, do you know that Jesus will be king and David will be prince? Mm-hmm. We will sit in the kingdom of David. I want to sit in the kingdom of Jesus, but I also like, I want to follow this David around like a crazy person. What did you do? What did you do? Because I want to know how they operate. I want to know how this kingdom is going to operate. Don't you? I want to know this kingdom. Oh, man, it's going to be good. We think we understand, you know, politics, whatever, kingdoms from what we know of kingdoms. We don't live in a kingdom. We live in a kingdom, but we don't live in a kingdom in our earthly. But there, we're going to understand true kingdom. And I can't wait. It's going to be powerful. Amen. All right. So thank you, John. That was awesome. Okay, testimony.
Oh, testimony. Come on.
Oh, come on. Come on, you got to tell. That is so powerful. Praise the Lord.
I'm in a new body right now, so
praise
I'm just getting used to it.
I don't know how much history to give you. I'm Christine. I'm 60 years old. I was born with spina bifida occulta. 30 years ago in June, I was living in Boulder, and I met Kat. And as soon as I met Kat, I'm like, that will be my best friend forever and ever. And she is. And she worked on me, and then I ended up moving back to California, and I've been there for about 28 years, and I just got back to Colorado 2 weeks ago today. Also, what happened was I was in an accident in my 20s, and then when I was 19, and then at 28, I flipped a Jeep end over end three times, and I was in it for the duration. I was in Mexico, stuck there for 30 hours. I'm giving you a lot of history.
Okay.
Last night, just during worship, just in the very beginning, just being with all of you and all of your love and the Holy Spirit, my spine went like, I have had a bump here since I was born. I was born with this.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
They have to hear this part.
Yeah, this is so good. Go ahead.
Say that again. The last part about
so I was born spina bifida occulta. Spina bifida is when the spine grows outside. Occulta means it's hidden, and it was because it was still on the skin. So mine was very slight, but very painful. I was told by a doctor at 5 years old. He told my mom she'll probably never be able to have kids.
But anyway,
I got two great ones. But I had a bump here, and it's gone. It's gone. And I know if I got an MRI or an X-ray, I could show you my from 3 months ago. I know, and it went on for hours. So.
So
when I got home, I felt it, and to bed, I felt like I had like soda water in my marrow, and I was having visions like of just like, it was like almost like a Harry Potter thing.
Right,
like just ching, 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 and I just felt it going up. And first he worked here. At one point he said, Christine, just lay on your back, put a pillow under your left leg. I did it. I usually want everything really symmetrical. And I felt this, and then he came up. He dealt with that accident at 19.
Praise the Lord.
And now, today we're working on the neck, so it's going on.
Glory
for me.
God.
Right.
Amen.
Now.
Right. Amen.
Now I'm being hit.
So we're going to redeem that. We are the opposite of Harry Potter. Aren't you glad?
Right.
And we have the true power, not the counterfeit. We have the true. And so I have to tell you, I love that. So thank you, honey.
You're so welcome. And Kat couldn't believe it this morning.
Yeah, because Kat like, knew that bump.
She's worked Kat had for 30 years.
That's right. And she, Kat said, it's gone. So I have to tell you, the reason I wrote the dream book was because I kept hearing, well, the reason we started doing fire camp was, we knew we weren't training the kids in the Holy Spirit. We weren't training them in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that bugged me. It bugged me because I had kids. I had kids and I wanted them to be trained in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so there was this constant, ugh. So we started doing fire camp where we train kids in the in dreams, dream interpretation, how to hear the voice of God, prophetic art, which is extremely important, prophetic healing, which is awesome, and angels. So we went over the years, I never dreamed I'd be doing any kind of kids work like this or anything like that, because I was like, Lord, I'm with kids all the time. I never got to sit through a service. I was always in the back with the kids, and, you know, never got to, and I did Sunday school. So I had to train myself to listen to the strong word of God and listen to the best teachers on the radio all the time. I was Derek Prince, you know, all of these really good preachers and teachers. So I listened to them, and I got such excellent teaching. You know, the Lord always will provide if we'll ask him what to do. Andrew Womack, he was another one I listened to day and night. So anyway, one day I was walking my vehicle, because I was complaining about fire camp. I was complaining, okay, Lord, it doesn't matter whether there's 10 people that come or 50 people that come. It's always a lot of work. It's the kid, you know, it is. It's work. So I'm walking. I had my car in the shop, and I walk down the street, and I see a sign outside of a church, and it says, Harry Potter VBS. And I said, oh, they're training children with the spiritual gifts, not the ones we love. They're training them to do all kinds of manipulation, all kinds of things like this, sorcery. I mean, you name it, what's in there. They're training them to do that, but how are they training them about Jesus at VBS? What is this? So right there, I just said, Jesus, I repent. I will never complain about doing fire camp again in my life. I repent. We train kids, and we have trained them now everywhere to do this. And then on top of that, the adults got jealous, and they were like, we want fire camp. So we started doing fire camps for adults. And, you know, I love adults, but they have more theology. The kids get it really fast. The adults will shut it down. We haven't had that happen because most of the people that come to me, they know what they're going to get. It's pretty unpredictable, and they are like, okay. But one of the craziest, wildest things I see is people that are in their 80s and 90s coming up and saying, nobody has ever explained this to me, with tears running down there clear to the end of their beard if it's a man. Weeping. Nobody ever told me Jesus was talking to me. Nobody ever said that. They always said it. I was just listening to my imagination, or it was the devil. So that has been shocking because, you know, I get the very young and the very old, and I love it. Now, the ones in the middle, like us, we love that too, because we are the ones who are to train and help on both ends of that, right? We're the ones that raise up and we help. So That was the other thing. That's the reason I wrote this book, was because I was in a warehouse, and I tell the story in here. I was in a library warehouse, and I was sorting books as fast as I could, and the one book came through my hands. Okay, what happened was is nobody wanted to do the kids' books. I said, I'll do it. Listen, nobody wants to train the kids. Nobody wants to train them. That's why you get the 100-year reward. It's extremely important. If you'll take up a Sunday school class, if I could tell you how deficient the churches are right now in training, you would be shocked. It is like there is no Sunday school, or they send them off to some other place to play. Oh my goodness, you know how many churches I go in and they have a bouncy house, and they're at their bouncy house, and I'm like, get rid of that stinking bouncy house. We're here to meet the Lord. Though that child can meet the Lord, but that is what is that? Entertain the kids. Oh my Lord, these kids need the presence of the Lord. And once you get them understanding the presence of the Lord, this house, this place that we were at had the bouncy house. Once we put that bouncy house away, we had zero issues with the kids. But while we had the bouncy house there, they were awful. The kids were horrible. I can have 500 kids in a foreign nation. Every one of them is sitting there completely silent, listening, and then operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I can sit here and call in this place, in this America, and our kids are demand to be entertained. And it's not okay. So I'm sorting books at the library warehouse, and because nobody wanted to do the kids. Sorting books. One book gives me an electric jolt. And so I reach out and I find that book that was went into that pile, pull it out, and I look at it, and it's on dreams and dream interpretation from a New Age occult standpoint. And I'm like, wait a minute, no. And so that's why I said, Lord, is this the next assignment? And he said, yes. So that's where this came from. I was just talking to somebody this morning about this book, and she said, I'm halfway through, and I said, don't stop, because some of the stuff in the back is so stinking awesome. I have this thing on the superheroes. Oh my goodness, it's such a good chapter. I love it. Defeating the Terrorist, and just the creative dreams, the E equals MC squared, I tell that whole story in there. And then I talk in here about reading the Word of God. It's in the very back, so you have to get to the back to get those chapters, but it's really good. So, staying in the Word. The other thing, I had to read my Word. So we talked just a little bit yesterday about reading the Word, and I do have a chapter in there on just how to read the Word, and it's very practical. Our whole ministry is, if we can't have a child do it, then it's too hard. So we make it really simple on everybody, and what's really cool is when you have people say that. This has never been explained so I could understand it. It was always a high academic thing. Same thing with dreams. That was why I couldn't get it. I was like, okay, this is analytical. I cannot do it analytical. I just don't get it. This whole dream thing. So when I wrote that book, I broke it down so that I could understand it. It was for me. Okay, so that's why that book is powerful, and I believe that's why the call, that was the assignment. Make it, put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Okay, when I talk about reading the Word of God, I realize this hasn't been taught, but the Lord has highlighted this to me lately. Stephanie, please keep saying it, because we have to be grounded in the Word of God. The Bible says in the last days, everything will be shaken. We should not be the ones who are shaken. Yeah, we might be shaken for a moment, but we're going to go back to the Word of God. We're going to know what our foundation is, and we are not going to be shaken. Our hearts will hold firm, right? But with that, there is no legalism. You can listen to the Word of God. It's so simple. Turn it on in your house. Keep it running 24/7. Whatever you need to do to make it available, get it inside of you. There is something amazing about when you have a dream come to you and you have zero idea what that dream is, but because you've been listening to the Word of God, all of a sudden, boom, it'll hit. You'll go, whoa. And I've also had somebody ask me a question before, and that principle of the Word of God hits me right in the middle, and I'm like, there it is. And I can't maybe name the verse and passage, but I can say, wait, the principle of this is all the way through the Word of God. Go through and study out this. You're going to get it. You're going to get the answer. So the Word of God is so good. It's different than study. Reading the Word of God is different than study. We love study as well. Study is awesome. Hebrew, I highly recommend Hebrew study, Hebrew word studies. But reading, read, 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 read. Listen, listen, listen. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Okay, but no legalism. Don't get under bondage. Just get under freedom, okay? Okay, stay humble, love people. If we're going to do dreams and dream interpretation, we have to stay humble and love people. 1 Corinthians 13, if I start to spout off, oh, I know this one, you know, boom, 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 I'm a clanging cymbal and a loud beating drum somewhere off in the distance and it's fingernails on the chalkboard, because it's not love. If I can't do it in love, and if I can't love this person, then I won't do their dream. I'll stop and I'll just say, wait, here's the key. Stop and ask Jesus, how do I love this person? Show me how to love this person. And if this dream seems like a warning or a correction or anything like that, the main thing I'm going to do is love them. And they will know that I'm bringing the word in love, and I'm not going to do that in public at all. We do that in love and in gentleness and in kindness. It was sometimes with tears. Janet just did a dream for me yesterday. She cried because it was a good dream. But it was like in love. She was like, don't be afraid. But this is what this dream is. And it's like, yeah. And you know what? You can hear love. If you have any kind of a religious spirit in operation, you will blast somebody and send them backwards. It's not worth it, my friends. I'd rather not have a dream interpreted than have it done wrongly.
That's right.
Right? By somebody who doesn't love me? Because they... It is like a bad prophetic word.
Yeah.
It can send you... Oh, my goodness. We've seen so much damage. So it is all about love. And you know what? You leaders... If you've got some of that going on, don't be afraid to stop it, because guess what? We're responsible to who? We are responsible when these words are happening to God. I love what Lori said the other night. That was awesome, because she knew, oh my goodness, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I want to get out of here. But as leaders, we have to be mature enough to get on our pants, right? I'm going to be mature enough to say, hold on, hold on. I have a better word here. I have a good word here. Good word. Let's do it that way. We want to be gentle, kind, long-suffering, self-control, right? Because we want to see many dreams that have any kind of correction in them. How many of you know your sin? Do you need somebody to tell you? Ever? Well, if somebody's offended by you or something like that, you want to. That's scriptural, right? But do I need to call you out and say, "Ah, I saw you do this," you know? Does that ever help? What does it do? Condemn? A lot of times it will drive, you do this to a child, what will they do? They'll turn right around and do it worse. They'll run right into rebellion. Oh, I'll show you. I'll show you my rebellion. Right? So what is our goal? It's to say the opposite. Love him and delight. Give him the redemptive word. Because here's the deal. If I love you, I'm not going to tell you the problem. I'm going to tell you the answer. And I'm going to give you the good word so that you can strive toward that good word. And not be... And not be taken down by, you know, if somebody has a really horrible dream and we know it's a warning dream, you know, we'll take them aside and we'll love on them. And then you just say, I see the answer at the end of this. Jesus is on the move here. Here's the strategy, right? And we're going to take out the enemy. And listen, I'm going to be praying with you. I'm going to pray with you now, but I'm going to be praying with you for this thing to become your answer, your success. Because that's what God does. Thank God he does that. Does he lovingly correct us? He absolutely. How many of you have been corrected? You've done something and he corrected you. And then when you were done with that test and all that, you were like, Jesus, you corrected me with so much love. I can't even believe it. that hurt. It stung my heart when you said it, but I loved that because it brought me back into alignment where I didn't see that. We don't need to hurt anyone. We need to gently love them, okay? And if you don't know how to do that, don't interpret a dream. Don't give them a prophetic word. Wait until you ask the Lord Jesus, show me how to love. Show me how. 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. Love doesn't want its own way. Doesn't have a hidden agenda. Doesn't have all that stuff. That's hate. Right? Okay. No legalism. Stay humble. Love people. Okay. I can't read my next thing. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's go forward in the... Let's do that first scripture. There. In a dream and a vision at night. I want you to remember this. When you're deep in sleep, God opens your ears. Remember, too, dreams are for you. Your ears impresses you with warnings, turn you back from something you're planning, a reckless choice, keep you from early death. Okay. Next. All dreams have a message. The word was, just in case somebody wasn't here, we want to just review this real quickly. The word was first, everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. Go to the next one. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything started in him. All right? How to interpret dreams. We did this yesterday, but real quickly, tell the dream story. Ask God for help, for crying out loud. don't go to your own understanding. Have a friend repeat the dreams out loud so no details are forgotten. And then we want to ask and answer questions, okay? Those are the four things that we did yesterday. I hope you saw that. We modeled it for you. And this is key because if you can't, this is why we don't do email dreams. Now, I will have somebody email me the dream, but then many times I'll call them with the interpretation because I want to be able to ask questions. I want to be able to find out what was, you know, there may be another key that they forgot to write down in the email, and very rarely will I give any kind of an interpretation. And I've had people contact me from other places. I wanted to tell you that on the reading the Word of God chapter, I had somebody last couple of weeks ago contact me from England. She said, I have never been encouraged to read the Word of God. And she said, I'm taking up that thing. I'm going to do it. I thought that was powerful. I love that. So, and she said, that book was the best 13 pounds I've ever spent. I was like, whoa, that's a big compliment. Okay, next. What about nightmares? Is there anything else we need to do? We did some nightmares, but I didn't do this. Well, yeah, we did do the scriptures. Then you terrify me. Do you want me to do the barista dream?
Oh, yeah,
that is a powerful dream. Okay, so while I was writing that book, I was writing at Starbucks. Ooh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say the brand. But Starbucks is my mission field, okay? Go into these places. Come on. Are we supposed to be offended at these people who are so bad? Somebody's got to get in there. I mean, some of these offense things are like, you know, people, I will never go into a bar. Well, you know what? If Jesus tells me to go into a bar, I'm going into a bar. Okay? Same thing with Starbucks. Those people need Jesus. That's my mission field. So I stood, because I like to stand at a bar, and that's why I went to this particular place, because they had a standing bar. So I could stand there and write. Well, the baristas are right in front of me, and so every day I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord. They'll have dreams. I'll have dreams. I'm praying. I'm just bringing down the Spirit of the Lord. I'm not really, a lot of times I don't even pray something specific. I'm just like, Lord, thank you for being here, and your presence is here. And while I'm writing, Lord, I just thank you that your creative power is here. And it's affecting, we're changing the atmosphere. We go into a place, you go to the grocery store, whatever, you're changing the atmosphere. So anyway, I'm standing there, and one day, I had two or three people. I had one barista got completely healed. She had numerous problems, and one day she goes, Stephanie, look at my hand. She said, my veins are hard, and they were hard like leather. I said, well, I believe in Jesus, and I believe he'll heal you. She goes, because I did it, she's like, because I had heard her talk about things, you know. And I said, I believe he'll heal you. And she goes, I know nothing about Jesus. And I said, well, on your break, can I pray for you? So on her break, she comes over and stands by me. And I said, okay, let's just pray. And all I said was, in the name of Jesus, I command this to be healed. The next day she comes, I've got a picture of her. I told her I wouldn't send it anywhere, but she goes, look at my hand. I said, that's so good. Isn't that cool? And they bake me the best coffee every day. And they're always like, here's Steph, here's Steph. I was at the bank one day, and one of the baristas, and I hadn't been in there for, because my assignment was done, and I wasn't writing every day. She goes, Stephanie, where are you? And I said, I've been busy, other things. She goes, it's different in there without you. Come back. You can do that. Don't be offended. Come on. That's the devil wants us offended. He wants us out of that place. He wants us out of all these places. He loves it when we're offended. He's like, good, I got him offended. Okay, that's that religious spirit, can I say? He's a liar. He's a demon. Don't listen to him. Okay. So one day, this girl, this barista, she says, Stephanie, she says, well, she's talking to somebody else. She's talking back there, and I just overhear. And I'm typing along, she's like, I have these horrible nightmares every single night. She said, I'm waking up every night. It's repetitive. It's terrifying. She said, I wake up just screaming. And so finally, when she kind of got over close, I said, so, I said, you dream every night, huh? And she goes, yeah. I said, tell me the dream. I said, would you trust me to tell me the dream? And she said, oh, yeah. So when it was still really early in the morning, it's still dark, she says, okay, she said, here it is. She said, there was a pig on a spit over a fire. And she said, there were all these really icky-looking people standing around. And this is a girl that's told me that, she said, I have idols in my house. Every morning I get up and I talk to my idols and I leave them little gifts, you know. Okay, what are idols? Does anybody know? Demons. Demons are housing. Get the idols out of your house. They've come in like crazy. Seriously, Hello Kitty. These things that I didn't know. I was like, Hello Kitty is to a demon? It is. It's that goddess thing. Just get it out of your house. Don't agree. It's kids. It comes in through the kids' stuff. Anyway, pay attention. The Holy Spirit will show you. You don't want any of that. You don't want to participate with any of it. Okay, so anyway, she says, so there's a spit, the pig, but the pig is alive. The pig is screaming. The pig is going around. And she said, I know there has to be a sacrifice for the pig. And she's like, I'm pulling my skin off as a sacrifice for this pig. What? Now that's terrifying. That's a nightmare. That is a horrific nightmare. And I said, oh, honey, you don't have to sacrifice. There's already been a sacrifice made. Your pig is your junk. Your sin. Exactly. But I didn't use that word. If you use churchy language, you're going to lose them. Okay? It's your stuff that you really don't like about that you've done. Whatever bad thing that you've ever done, that's what the pig is. And the pig's screaming because it needs the sacrifice. She got the gospel right there in that dream. Did you hear that? Do you see what I mean? A dream can look like a terrifying nightmare, but it's actually an invitation. So does the church need to be available for this? So now here's something I really want to stress, because she was trying to pull her own skin off. We think we can sacrifice our own self for that, right? Can't do it. And of course, the demons were all around her. Her idols were all around her. She was seeing them. And she thinks they make her happy. So I explained some of that. But then what happened was, well, while I'm telling her the dream and the interpretation of the dream, it was like, I say it like this. It was like, do you remember Get Smart and the Cone of Silence? That's what came down over us. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. We were looking straight on. She didn't see anything. She didn't hear anything. At the point where I would have said, do you want Jesus? You know, we were stopped. I looked, and the line of people were out the door. And I went, I knew the Holy Spirit. I know. When the Lord stops you, don't go into it. It wasn't time. Just stop. And I did. But I had to literally, physically shake her hand. Wait, wait. You've got to line out the door. And I had to say it twice. Wait, you've got to line out the door. Because we were literally in a cone of silence. And she's like, oh. Yeah. Now, guess what? When over the Christmas holiday, she went, she had some sort of something happen, went way down. She looked, found me by asking whoever she could ask. And I don't know who she asked and got my phone number, called me. She said, Stephanie, the holidays are so hard. And she was weeping. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. So do you see what I'm saying? We want to make friends and we want to be available. We don't want to shut anybody down. We don't want to scare anybody away. We want to just be able, we want to be available. Now, I believe she's going to come to Jesus. I have no doubt in my mind. Holy Spirit is all over this. So do I have to worry about, oh, I didn't get the clincher in. I didn't get the salvation prayer in. No, don't worry. You know, it takes seven times. They say seven times you have to hear the gospel before you'll actually accept. And I don't want her just to say something that she doesn't believe. I want her to truly get saved. And I believe she will. So, you know, there was a time when we used to think, well, we have to do it. You have to do the clinch right now. You have to catch that fish. But sometimes it's not quite yet. And Holy Spirit, does Holy Spirit have perfect timing? Did Holy Spirit have perfect timing in your life? Yes. So relax. Let's just get the gospel out there when we can, and let's be the gospel, right? Okay, nightmares. Okay, then go forward. Okay, that was, God will repeat a dream to warn you. Oh, and she had this dream repetitively. Is there another one that you can think of? We'll go forward. Yeah, while we're sitting here, did you have any other ones? What about jail dreams? You have some of those. We can go forward one more. So if you have a nightmare dream, remember, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Remember, this is a spirit of fear. Just like the spirit of religion is a demon, there is a spirit of fear. And a lot of times when we say spirit, for some reason we kind of put that in a different place than a demon. I did. I was like, oh, a demon? I was thinking spirit. Somehow I was thinking it was a good, just like a white lie. You know, a white lie is worse than a regular lie because it's got half truth. But he has given us a spirit of love, power, and sound mind, right? Okay, next. What about death dreams? Oh, my goodness. Okay, next. Here's what you do when you... Do you have a death dream?
Yeah, and I've just been like...
Okay, come on, Susie. Is it short?
Which one?
Okay, you think about that for just a second. Here's what you do when you have a death dream. You got it? Okay, let's do it.
It's just really
short.
Simple.
Oh, good.
Probably like 3 weeks ago, but I'm at a gravesite on top of a mountain, and I was just thinking about it right before you flipped this. And I believe I said, but we've been so much, because I'm at the gravesite. It looks like a fresh mound of dirt on top of a mountain, and I say something like, but Frodo, we've gone through so much together.
And so Frodo was in the grave?
That's what I was just trying to remember correctly, but yes, that's what I believe I said.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I've never watched Lord of the Rings. Isn't that Lord of the Rings?
So Frodo is the one that has the duty of being the humble, simple, childlike character that, this little short character that carries the ring of evil to the correct, you know, lava place in the mountain, you know, to destroy evil from the land.
Susie, you are so precious. Can I say this is the most tender heart? Oh. Mm. Oh, you're so precious. Okay, listen, we're children of God. This is why it's so important. It's so important to know dreams, but also to love and to... So do you have any thoughts, fresh man? Frodo, can somebody look up on their phone? Do you know what Frodo means? We know what he represents. So that's really powerful.
What does he represent?
He's the little guy.
I've never seen
the carrier of the evil. I know, meaning the ring that he's going to go up and he's going to destroy the evil ring, right?
Yeah.
The thing that carried
the
evil. The power.
It was the one ring that ruled them all.
The one ring that ruled them all.
So you wanted
to get rid of the evil ring, and he was the one who carried it to destroy it. He wanted to destroy
the evil. Oh, yeah.
No.
A fresh mound. She didn't see Frodo in the grave, but she was thinking.
Wise.
Wise. That's really good.
And what did you say when you were at the gravesite?
But Frodo, we've gone through so much together.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so that must be confirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you? Well, let's just talk about death for. I mean, just being on a mountaintop with a gravesite. I mean, immediately I heard transition.
Oh.
Ooh,
that's true.
Glory. Wow.
Okay, now that was the download. You know, you get a download, and that's different than that. It goes along with dream interpretation, but we're waiting for the Holy Spirit download. But that's exactly right, Janet.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just sense there's a new assignment, and there's a death of, you know, something that she had been doing, and she's going into the new. So... But it was mountaintop, so, you know.
Right.
She's on the mountaintop with the king.
And we've been through so much
together.
Yeah,
so good. They've done so much together. And even in here, we know in Colorado she's done so much,
yeah.
You know. So, and she's done, you know, I don't know the character, so
yeah.
I can't really speak to that. But I do know that she's participated.
Absolutely. With destroying evil.
Destroying evil, just by her life,
that's
just
right.
By her, just by the love of God inside of her.
So
she's graduating.
Susie,
moving on.
Something I love about Susie,
yeah,
is
so
I remember we were at a conference one time and something was said and she stood up in the back and so gently asked the question that needed to be asked. I was so proud of her. I was like, Susie is 20 feet tall right now. I'm so proud of her. I just look at Susie and I think this is a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
She is one who truly seeks after to know the truth in the Word of God. It doesn't matter who's preaching what. She's going to go after the truth and she's going to ask until she finds it. And that's destroying evil. So I see Susie. Susie comes here to help and she volunteers up here. So love on her. Stick money in her pocket because she does have an assignment and it's a big one. And she is the one who has begged, borrowed, and stole to get people up here to this retreat every year. I'm so proud of her. Nobody knows that. I'm so proud of her.
That's
she,
so good.
She came down to fire camp. We did
yeah.
a fire camp at
so
Bridgeway.
Fun.
We did a camp at Bridgeway. She's
yeah.
like, can I come down? We don't have a place to stay yet. We'll sleep in our truck. Can we help? I'm like, who does that? But Susie.
Yeah.
And they did. And one of our fire camp leaders gave them a place to stay. But I'm telling you, she didn't care. She was like, we'll sleep in our vehicle. We don't care. We're just coming to help. So I'm serious. She is I believe she has done so much to work along with Jesus. During this time, and maybe Frodo actually represents an angel, a wisdom angel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a death.
Okay.
Like
okay.
what, you know, It's just, this is the death of this time of your life. This is the ending of this season.
Right.
And that's what I want you to see. First, obviously, Frodo is a character, so we don't have to declare life over him. If we would declare life, we want the people who destroy the enemy. And we want the ones who will destroy the works of the enemy. And we want the ones who will destroy evil. So that's what I love about that being Frodo. But that was a fiction story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This has been your training ground, mm-hmm. your maybe, I don't want to say the fiction part of your life, it's very real.
I know.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is like the training ground, the history, and this section, this is like a new grave. It's going to be the end of this section. And then now you know the next thing that the Lord is taking you to.
Yeah,
And transition is right.
What
was at the end of the dream? Did we miss any of that? You remember?
No, I think that was it. You know, I was just thinking about Moses when he went to the top of the mountain and he transitioned into the next,
the next thing.
Place. And so, biblically, we can think about that. This actually came after because I first heard transition.
Right.
And then I'm thinking, okay, well, that was a transition.
Amen.
He was on the top of the mountain when he transitioned. It looked like he died. We know we never die. We just transition, right? So that's really powerful.
Thank you. That really, really helped because I kept thinking somebody I knew would die.
So put your hands out. We're going to pray, and we will teach on that right now because that's a good question. So, Father, right now we just pray for Susie. We just bless her. We bless her into the next thing. Thank you, God. We just know that you're going to carry her on wings of angels, on wings of eagles. You're going to take her to the next thing because she wants a deeper relationship with you, Jesus, and she's willing to put everything else to death. We're so glad. We love her. She's so precious. She is the child. She is the one you love. We just love her. We bless her. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. She's a heavy drinker, too. We love heavy drinkers. Oh, my Lord. Now you see why we can't operate along with the religious spirit. Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Thank you.
Oh, Riyakashu, thank you. This next season is going to be so good, Susie. Can I say bless her? Can I just say that? She needs blessing. Bless her, whatever, a tip, a big tip. So if we have a death dream, we're going to declare over that person. That person in the dream, shall live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. I will declare. So if I have a death dream of somebody that I know, let's say I dream my mother dies, or I dream my father dies, or I dream my aunt or my uncle. I dream they die. I want you to think, first, when you wake up, I declare Uncle Bill will live and not die, and will declare the works of the Lord. We're going to do that, right? We cover all the bases on this. And then we are going to put that dream, this is the same thing as a nightmare, write that dream down, and then put it down for a bit. Walk away from it, because if you interpret that dream with that emotion of, I don't want to lose somebody, you will probably interpret it the wrong way, okay? So don't do that. Just declare over that person. Just the same thing under a nightmare dream. If you say, I will not participate with spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, get these two scriptures right on the top of your tongue. I will live, and our Uncle Bill will live and not die, and he will declare the works of the Lord. We get that right off the bat. Next one. Your words. Okay, so I want to tell you this. Dream. This is such a powerful dream. So there was a husband and wife, and they got a hold of me and said, the wife, I had this dream that my husband was in a boxing ring, and he's in this boxing ring, and he's being pummeled by somebody. They both had gloves on, but my husband was taking it. And then she says, I see my husband, I see this other person haul around and smack him so hard he hits the floor, and I know he's dead. She calls me up like, what is this? And I said, okay, first, what are we going to say? He shall live and not die, and he's going to declare the works of the Lord. But a punch or a bullet or anything else like that can be words. Words coming at him, and they're punching him, and they're going to kill him. You know, sticks and stones break my bones. What a lie. But words will never hurt me. Words can kill you. Words can destroy you so fast. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. I can either choose to kill somebody or I will give them life. So that's why we declare the scripture first, and then we don't take the emotion from that dream and interpret that dream. If we do that, you're in trouble, okay? Next, I think the next one. So we want to look at the person's name. So let's say David. David's an easy name to interpret. The beloved one. So we look up what that means. Yes! We looked up Frodo, which was wisdom. Now, here's the other thing. We know that wisdom's not going to die in Susie's life. In fact, she has learned. I believe this season of learning wisdom, like she has, is going to end. But she's going to gain new wisdom now. She's going to walk forward with new wisdom. And whatever the Lord is going to give her, it's going to come out of that. Okay, of what she's learned in the past. And she maybe she's going to put to death, or maybe God is putting to death the things in her life that has this season of her life, because these things have worked to teach her wisdom, now something new is going to be brought along. Does that make sense? Okay. You may be dying to yourself. If you see yourself die, don't go, oh, I'm going to die. No, I'm going to declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to live. But, Lord, what in me needs to die? Show me what is holding me back. Show me what is taking me off the tracks. Show me. I want to die. I want to die to that. It may be end an issue like this one. I think this was very much an ending of a season. It can be ending a season. Maybe there's a season where you have been in dire straits as far as a situation in your life, like a job or whatever, and it's all of a sudden, this is going to end. And somehow there'll be a clue in the dream, if it's a season, there'll be a clue. I'm trying to think of a dream because we get these all the time. Death dreams can be really scary. Can I just say that? Death dreams can be some of the worst and scary ones. Especially we would go to the Navajo Reservation and they would go, I mean those kids, they were like, I dream this person's going to die, and then they died, you know, and I'm like, this is when we were first doing it. So I'm like, oh my goodness, so we had to have an answer right away. So, and it could end a relationship. How many of you know, God doesn't want us he wants us to be in love with everybody, right? He wants us to be in right relationship with everyone. But you know what? Sometimes there are people that we can't be around for one reason or another. And the Lord will say, hey, it's time to let this season of this relationship, you know, it's time to be away from this because they're leading you down a bad path or they're doing something abusive to you or they're, you know, they're taking you in. And we have to just know that God is doing that. And we'll get comfort from that dream, which will, that person is dying. And it's not they're dying. We're declaring that they are going to success, but we realize that that relationship is parting right now or ending right now. Okay, and then it can prepare you for an actual death. Can I say that death is easy? I have this brother, Carl Hahn, who sees angels. He's a pastor. He's now close to his 90s, but he barely writes anymore. He used to write a blog. I mean, even in his 80s, he wrote blogs, and it was so amazing because every day Holy Spirit, not every day, but almost every day, Holy Spirit would show up in the middle, in the early morning, and they would, and he would see the angels in his room. He said, everyone has at least four angels. He said, my wife has four, I have four. He said, I see them every time. So when I pray, two stay with me, or he said, you know, when me and my wife pray, two stay with each of us, and then two go out to do what the Lord has given, what we've been praying and what we've been declaring. Is that so cool? So just know that it's nothing for God to send you a troop of angels with you. So so the Lord may prepare you in a dream. Oh, here's what Carl Hahn, I'm sorry, here's what Carl Hahn says. He said, I was talking to the Holy Spirit one day, because when the angels, when the angels, he sees them, he knows Holy Spirit wants to talk to him. So he talks to the Holy Spirit, and that's true of us. When we train children about angels, we always say, don't talk to the angels, talk to Holy Spirit or talk to Jesus, because we know that's safe. Great protocol. All right, same thing with us. We don't need to talk to the angels. We need to talk to Holy Spirit. We need to talk to God. Okay, so... See, really, this is so powerful. Ooh, that's so good. How do you know? You know what? This stuff breaks the religious yoke faster than anything. Glory. Let's just say it. If you've been having to work alongside a religious spirit, right now in the name of Jesus, we just thank you that you came to kill, steal, and destroy the devil. And you came to wipe him out of our lives. So, Father, right now we command the demon of religion to go through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. And the legalistic spirit, you have to shut your mouth. You're a liar. You're a thief and a liar. We say you're a liar and you have to go in Jesus' name. Ooh, glory, glory. So Carl Hahn, he says, one day I was talking to Holy Spirit, and he said, you, Holy Spirit, I know that I'm going to die. I know that I'm going to die soon, or sometime. And what is it? And here's what the Holy Spirit said. It's just like breathing out in one world and taking a breath in the new. Isn't that so freeing? I can face a bullet for that. I can face a guillotine. I can face whatever. Take me out with a breath, Jesus, and I'm going to breathe in on the new place. Ooh. Glory. I want that. Thank you, God. All right, prepares us. We had a young girl who, her grandfather had already died, and she was in such grief she couldn't move forward. And she dreamed that her grandfather came to her. And it may have been a real experience, it may not have been a dream, which probably is what it was. But the grandfather came and said, honey, I am doing the best. I love where I'm at. I'm having the most fun. I don't have any pain. I have your dogs. You know, I have your animals. Whatever. I know where your house is. I love what I'm doing. I'm fulfilling my destiny. And it completely changed her. The grandma that was telling me the story, she goes, it was like night and day. Total difference. Because death is hard. But guess what? People are going to die. That's not news to us. We know it's going to happen. But the Lord is so merciful to give us a warning. But first we're going to do what? Declare life over them, that they're going to live and not die, but declare the works of the Lord. But if the Lord does, if this is their time, because in some situations it's their time, we're going to say, oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, that you have him. We just lost a little puppy. I talked to him before he died. Thankfully, I had time with him. And he was only 11. And I said, Shumi, honey, go to our house in heaven. We are going to have so much fun. Go find Coconut. You guys go tear up the yard. Yeah. Have fun. It's going to be good. We're all going to, and then I name all the kids. I know everybody that he knows and loves, and he was in distress. And so I'm just talking, if the angels are here, honey, you can go with the angels. You know, you just talk to them. Just love on them. It's death. It's a process. It's a natural process. We know we're all going to, you know, unless the rapture comes. So it's the same thing with our loved ones. I have ushered in family that way as well. Okay. All right, next. I love this. So good that we're just... Okay, well, this leads us right into animal dreams. So animals, because of their character, teach us... I need Janet. And they teach us their character. So whenever you have an animal dream, look up what that animal does. Now, this is where you can use Google or whatever. Now, the dream book, this book, Divinity Code, I only have a couple of these left, so I hope if you need it, grab it. But this does tie everything to Scripture, like I said, and everyday symbolism. I might have one everyday symbolism back there. Same thing, 3,000 metaphors, but they're all tied to the Word of God. And so a bunch of the animals are in there. If you can't find the animal that you're, like we were asked about moose. So you go back to elk or you go back to deer, right? Same family, you go to the family line. Plus, these are Australians. They say garage. What is that? So you have to think like a Australian man, which I'm like, what were you thinking when you said that? So the many times, you know, we're like, I'm like, Adrian and Adam come every year. Actually, April, they're coming. They'll be with us, Adrian and Adam. They're our good friends from Australia. We have the most fun with these guys. So we'll have conference in Colorado. We'll have two conferences. We actually may have, I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but we may have Lana Vosser as well. We haven't confirmed it. But they're all friends, and so we want them. I'm like, we want them. But I distributed this book in the United States, all over the U.S. and Canada, before it was distributed in the U.S. I heard about this book from Jim Watt, a man I highly respect. He was the last living, remaining man from the Saskatchewan Revivals. And so I followed Jim Watt around Israel, and then when I respected everything he said, and he started talking about these guys, this book. So I got a hold of Adrian and I said, Adrian, is anybody distributing this book in the U.S.? And he said, no. I said, I'll do it. I had no clue what I was talking about. That was like, it was like one of those things you get on the phone and or on the email, I'll do it. And I hit send and I'm like, ooh, what did I just say? But anyway, I distributed it all over and I sent out hundreds of them. And I had so many miracles. Every time I'd go to the airport to pick them up, it was one of the coolest things ever. So anyway, that book leads you to the Word of God. So it will look up your domestic animals, and know the difference between your domestic animals and your wild animals. Your context of your dream is important. Last night there was an alligator dream. An alligator, I mean, think about what the alligator does. An alligator grabs a hold of, and actually there's a difference between an alligator and a crocodile. That's why Wikipedia, those are helpful. Because a crocodile, and I don't know if alligator does this too, but I know we looked up crocodile not long ago. A crocodile will grab a hold of a man and then twist him, run backwards until it kills the man. That's how they kill the man. What other, does anybody know another thing from the Bible? Leviathan. That's what the Leviathan does. The Leviathan will, have you ever been in a conversation where you say something and then it will, before it gets to the other person's ears, and they will hear the exact opposite of what you just said. That's Leviathan spirit. Crocodile. So if you see a crocodile or a dragon-like creature, that's the Leviathan spirit, and it's an operation. Jezebel shows up in a lot of ways as well that way. So if you know it's happening, you can shut that thing down. But you want to pay attention to what their characteristics are. I want you to tell your heaven dream, because somebody was asking about are our animals really in heaven? And Janet had such an experience with heaven about that.
Yeah, I need it again because I kind of freaked out after I heard about my dogs again last night.
Because she lost her dogs. Yeah, she lost her dogs recently, but she had a dog.
Okay.
That, yeah.
Excuse me.
Such a good dream.
Whoa, that was intense.
Woo!
Thank you. So I want to tell two things about animals. I'll tell the, I want to, oh, wait. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Thank you, God. Okay. So when I had my doggy die.
When you're drunk, can I just share something real quick?
Oh, hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Wait. Let's let her do it in the Holy Spirit. You share it with me. Come over.
Okay. So yeah, when I had a dog for 15 years that died like suddenly, and it was really traumatic for me because this was in the days where I was really needing a lot of, and I still do, a lot of healing. But I was really bad then. Thank you, Jesus. So I was at home with. And I was just grieving, and it was day 3, and all I could do was cry. And my neighbor came over, and she prayed for me, and she didn't know me because she had been away for a long time. And she said, she came over with her baby, and it was a few days before Christmas. And she came over with some cookies and a Christmas card and her baby, and she prayed for me. And then at the end, she told me, God told me to come and pray for you. And that night I was going to bed and I was still crying because it was such a great loss in my life because this dog kept me alive when I was really suicidal and stuff. And because I couldn't do it because she was looking at me with those eyes. So, and I had planned, you know, I had planned it and, you know, I couldn't. And so, so that night I was crying and I went to lay down. And I never had an open vision. I had an open vision. And it was Jesus standing there, and he was holding my Shih Tzu, and she looked like she was about 1 year old. And she was licking his face, and he was laughing, and, you know. And I was like, because, you know, she was 15, and she, you know, they change, you know. And so he looked at me eye to eye. He didn't say a word, and he set her down, and she ran into the most beautiful field I ever saw. And the peace that came over my body was just like, I didn't cry again. It was totally taken from me, that pain. Yeah. It was so good. So I know that our animals are in heaven. Tell you a jail thing.
Oh, good.
Yeah. About animals. Because this just happened last week. I forget so much, but I remember this because I was in jail last week and it wasn't my normal group, but the lady says to me, they were roommates, and she said, last night she woke up. She woke up to go to the bathroom and she heard her bunkie saying, they say Sally, saying, Grandma got run over by a reindeer. And I knew immediately what that meant. Because it was the generational curse being broken over her life. And the reindeer is the authority of the God in the person of the Holy Spirit breaking that generational curse off her. She got set free, speaking in tongues. She was like, whoa, yeah.
Yeah, that was powerful. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Okay.
That is so good. So, Grandma, yeah, Grandma, yeah, you can get a song, you can get anything. So Grandma can show up as your generation. Remember that, Grandma, Grandpa. I've had really good Grandma, Grandpa dreams where Grandpa, my Grandpa, who was stoic, and I never heard very much from him. I knew he loved me, but he never really expressed it. Oh, honey, you know, and that was it. And so when I had this dream, my Grandpa kept getting closer and closer to me. We were driving in a vehicle. He was actually driving, and he was a horrible driver. He only had one eye. It was terrifying. And he wouldn't let anybody else drive. And he drove fast. I mean, my grandma would get a death grip on my leg because I'd sit in the front seat. It was terrifying. And so, but my grandpa we were in the front seat, and I was next to my grandpa, and he had his arm around me, and he's driving. and he gets close. I could just feel him getting closer and closer and closer. It was like the most precious thing I've ever felt. And then I knew my generations were behind me. I knew everybody that had died and gone on before was back there in my vehicle, which is ministry. I knew. So when I woke up, I was like, oh, Jesus, I've never felt love like that. Now, a grandfather can represent Father God, can represent your earthly father. And in this case, I really believe it did represent my earthly grandfather, who now is really operating in what he's supposed to be operating and what he should have been operating in. But it was God's way of letting my family, who's already gone on before, say, keep going. Because, listen, some of us need those kinds of experiences so that we will keep going and we will not shirk back. You know, when you're going to be interviewed on Sid Roth and you're standing there going, what was I thinking? I thought, you know, one time that would be kind of cool, but now I'm like, how did they find me? What was they thinking when they were asking me these questions? So, but you have the strength to go through it because you know your family's with you, and you get your backbone and you do it, right? And you get your backbone from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, and I thought of something else I wanted to talk to. Go backwards on that. We'll just hang on that for a little bit. Okay. So let's talk about. Well, let's do a dream. Do a dream. You have an animal dream that's awesome? Come on, hun. That would be awesome.
Oh, you did too? Oh,
yeah.
Thank you, hun.
So I used to live in a town called Libertyville.
Oh, that's good.
And in this dream, I'm back in Liberty. My gosh, yeah, I have that light in your eye.
Yeah.
I'm back in Libertyville. I'm running up the street, and there's nobody there. No people are there. I see a lion coming, and at first I think, and then I realize, this is the lion that roars about looking to whom he might. He is ugly and tufty and nothing like Jesus, nothing. And there's no people to help me, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So I think I'll run into a store, and I run into the store, and the door is super flimsy. And the lion leaps against the door, and I yell, Jesus! And the door becomes an iron thing.
Wow.
And it's gone.
That's good.
Wow.
That's really good.
Wow.
Well, stay here for just a second in case we have a question.
Okay.
So you saw the lion. Okay, what can the lion be? The lion can be good or bad. Here's the deal. In so many metaphors, you have a redemptive and you have an unredemptive, right? Or strategy or whatever we need to know. Or a descriptive that will help us to identify what's happening. So she saw the lion that was seeking to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. Because he says, the enemy goes forth to and fro on this earth to see who he can devour.
Yeah,
and he was looking for you. But you were in Liberty. Do you know where Libertyville is?
I used to live in there.
You used to live
there.
But
not when I had this dream.
Okay, that's what's so good. It's when God takes you back to a place.
Yes, because it could have been any street, and I wouldn't have known.
It could have been
any street, but I knew it was Libertyville. It was the center street of Libertyville. And when I woke up immediately, that's okay. Libertyville. Yes.
Wow, that is so good. So God, God took you to Libertyville, which is you are free in the things of the Holy Spirit, and you went into a store. So I want to say this because a store can be the place where you get provision, right? And you went in, and then you knew immediately to say, Jesus. So
You know what? God's correcting me.
Okay.
I didn't say Jesus. I said, send your angels. Send your angels. That's what I said.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was still good.
Yes.
Now I would say Jesus, I think. I don't know why I said you know, send your angels, but that's what I said, and immediately there were angels, and the door was hired.
Well, the Lord teaches us these things, so we will call upon
Lord,
yes, send the angels.
Yes, there have been other times when I've done that, so yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Daniel did.
Is what Daniel did.
Yeah.
So going into a store is like going into a place of provision. You can go in and buy what you need, right, in a store. But you turned around and said, Lord, send your angels. And then the door turns to iron where they can't get in. That is such a powerful dream. Does everybody get that? Everybody gets that, right?
It's pretty
provision.
Obvious.
Yeah, it's very obvious. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And the other thing I thought was significant, no people. There were no people. There was not a person in sight anywhere. No one to help me.
Right.
I had to call on the one who could help me.
Amen.
That was really good. That's an excellent dream.
Ooh,
excellent. Is there anybody else who has an animal dream? Yes.
Yeah.
You can stand right there, honey.
Horses.
Oh, good. Oh, yes, horses. She's a horse dreamer.
Okay, so I was riding a big black horse named Tobias, and I noticed an ostrich under the area that I was riding in.
Ostrich?
Ostrich.
Oh, okay.
So where were you riding?
Out in the country.
Okay. But would an ostrich normally be there in the country?
No.
No, okay.
It just entered the area that I was riding in,
okay.
And it took like an aggressive stance towards me,
mm-hmm.
and the horse started to hesitate, and so I made him walk on, and I started yelling, and then the ostrich ran away.
Do you remember what you yelled?
No.
Okay.
I think I was just trying to make myself seem scary.
Big, right. Right.
Yeah.
You were trying to make yourself what?
Like seem scary.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, like you do in case of a lion or a mountain lion.
Like,
you make yourself
you.
Big, you know.
Right.
Or
right.
I just,
yeah. But you did it with your voice.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Okay. the horse's name. Does anybody know?
Tobias.
Did you watch that movie? I was trying to think of that movie, the three series, Divergent. Thank you. And Tobias was the lead character that.
I did see the movies, but I don't remember anything about them.
Okay, so Tobias is the co-star to the strong woman, a character that is needed to help this society merge together and eventually love each other by the end of the three movies. It's actually beautiful. It has inner healing in the second one.
That's good.
It has some really good stuff.
What does Tobias mean? Anybody who can look
that's
up?
That's good.
Yeah.
Who can look up Tobias in your phone? We're so blessed. BehindTheName.com is an excellent lookup place for your names. Behind the name. Okay, so, and then also, what are the characteristics of an ostrich? They run really fast. They're the fastest land running bird, right?
Oh.
Which is something like 60 or 70 miles an hour. I mean, it's crazy, like almost like a cheetah.
Doesn't fly.
Mm. We know that when somebody flies like an eagle, we know they're soaring higher into the higher heights, right? And they look for the heavenly things, right? What was the sharp claws can kill a man, right? Kick a man, uh-huh. They're very aggressive and territorial.
Tobias means goodness.
Yeah. Means goodness.
And you're on the horse named Tobias.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I
wonder what you're thinking. Probably. You can look it up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure because of the guys. Yeah, the Australians. Oh, Jill, I thought you were going to get the divinity. Oh, well, I have it. Never mind.
Right.
Duh. Listen, I cut the spine off my book and travel with it. I actually gave it away to a missionary, so now I don't have that. But just go to Kinko's or Kinko's is gone, FedEx, wherever, they'll cut off the spine and they'll put a coil on there.
On the metaphor part.
Just on the metaphor part, yeah, because then you can carry it. Then you can be stealth in every country on the planet.
Oh, my Lord.
But, yeah.
The other important thing is how you felt in the dream, your emotion.
Oh, yeah. What were you feeling?
Nothing.
You didn't feel anything. You didn't.
I don't remember getting
when you
afraid.
Okay, so you had no fear. Oh, but the horse.
Like he hesitated. Like he was like, I don't want to go over there, but I just made him walk on. And I was like, let's go. Come on. Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah. Right. Like, I saw it, but it, like, didn't scare me. I was just like, I'm just going to make myself bigger so it goes away so my horse can just keep going.
What did Tobias mean?
Goodness.
Goodness. Goodness. Ostrich means lack of wisdom.
Wow. You know, all I kept thinking was of the story, and I'm going to be very careful about this because I kept thinking about the story in Numbers. Help me, Jesus, with the donkey, you know, and the Lord was trying to stop, so the donkey had to speak because he needed him to stop him from doing something, remember, because he was going to curse the Israelites.
Right.
Yeah. So when we're not paying attention, God can send something to stop us from doing something, you know, that may harm us.
Without wisdom or understanding.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I think that's why.
Even though you have a good heart, you're on the horse, you know, you've got this good heart, the Lord may have been warning you, this is not wisdom.
Right.
And you may not have felt, you know, something in that because, you know, we may be, you know, it might be something we do naturally. It might be something we, you know, we just do without even thinking twice about. Listen, that guy, what's his name? Balaam. Yeah, Balak was the guy who was trying to get him to curse Israelites. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, my gosh, you guys are so drunk.
but you're right.
Yeah.
But because he was trying to get them to curse Israel.
Right.
And that would have totally been without wisdom and knowledge and revelation and understanding.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Because he was going for the money because he wanted the goods, you know. Balaam wanted the goods. But he had a gifting in him. But it wasn't it wasn't God's wisdom what he was doing, right? So God had to send something to stop the horse. And it was interesting because you used your voice. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did to curse. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, he ended up not cursing. He ended up teaching him how to do the...
He ended up blessing.
Yeah, he ended up blessing. So it may have been some kind of warning or... little directional.
Right. Knowing something's going to come up that wants to veer you another way, but you didn't. You paid attention. You stayed on the horse, and then you used your voice. Now, we have the authority to use our voice against whatever wants to come up and either distract us or pull us away. So that's, I mean, I think that was an excellent, and it may have, when did you have that dream?
Beginning of June.
So that may have already happened even in your life. But or you may have it happen again.
Yeah, dreams are, you know, they can be foretelling.
Right.
So you can have them. And here's the thing, even if God is wanting to say, okay, be careful because there's something without wisdom here. And that's why I love that divinity code because we can look, because I wouldn't have known that ostrich was without wisdom. I would have had no idea.
Yeah, wisdom and understanding.
Yeah.
Those words.
Right.
That's
and
amazing.
So we can pray and say, Lord, where is that in my life where I'm without wisdom or I need your wisdom and understanding? Because we can stop things from happening, and you may have. You know, when we pray in the Spirit, we don't know what we're praying, right?
Yeah.
So we're praying things through anyway. So you probably prayed it through without even knowing.
Right, that very well may be. When you don't know, remember what you said, sometimes it can be that you spoke in the Spirit and you actually destroyed the work of the enemy before. Yeah.
Horse power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has the power.
She has the power, right? What was the color of the horse?
Black.
Black.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Straight on. Who said that?
And she was on.
Straight
on, yeah.
Honey.
Yeah. So yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You're on top of it. You got that. You know that God is good. And you probably, when you rose up, you were speaking in the tongues. You know, if you don't remember what you said, I was just speaking in tongues. I was declaring the goodness of the Lord and to that thing, and it took off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So see, you may have defeated in your dream the thing that was going to come at you before, and it couldn't come at you because your heart was pure, your heart was already listening to the Lord. You may have, totally. Now, it may happen, but then again, I've had things happen in a dream that I know it was defeated in the dream, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been healed in a dream.
That's right.
It's something I didn't even know I had. Also, the Word of God has healed me. So one time I was listening to the book of Job. I listened to it 2 times through one morning. And by the time I listened the second time through, I was completely healed. And it was an emotional healing. You know, Job suffered betrayal after betrayal after betrayal. And I was going through that in that season of my life. And it was just painful. And so when I got through the second time, I wept completely through that second book time through that book of Job, because I thought, I need to listen to this again. By the time I was done with the book of Job, I was healed. And I knew it. I was completely healed. That betrayal thing no longer had power in me. It was destroyed. And I can't tell you the verse or scripture. I can't tell you the exact place that I got healed. I knew the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, healed me. And brother was talking about 420. What 420? Galatians? Ephesians? Somewhere. 420.
I forgot.
John was talking about it. I can't remember. But anyways, he was talking about being healed by... Derek Prince was healed by taking the Word of God morning, noon, and night. Derek Prince sat in the hospital. He had an incurable skin disease. And he was in a hospital. He had something he'd gotten from the military. No cure. And he said, Lord, what would you do to heal me? And the Lord said, I recognize that these people are taking medicine morning, noon, and night. What should I do? And the Lord showed him the scripture, and it's a 420. And I'm sorry, I can't remember what it is. It might be. It was 420 because I remember, because 420 in Colorado means something different. So we declare 420 the right way. We declare the scripture 420, which I can't remember what it is. But anyway, Derek Prince got completely healed by taking whatever 420 morning, noon, and night, and was healed of that incurable skin disease. Thank God Derek Prince was healed. Isn't that so good? I love him. We need to press in. Okay, I want to talk about numbers because numbers are so powerful. How many of you see repetitive numbers? Yeah, all the time. I think this has increased because, well, maybe we're just paying attention to it, you know, more. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sequences. That's good. Oh, don't you love it? I'm always like, oh, good numbers, good numbers. You know, you're at the grocery line, you're like, oh, good numbers. 44, 44, boy, couldn't do that again. That's a good number. Yeah, this is your little way of saying Jesus is in this. And the same thing with jewelry. That's why I started wearing these. These are such conversation starters. People will stop you and go, oh, I like that. And I'll say, oh, yeah, this was like, you know, this. I have one back there that's 5. I think it might have sold. Oh, yeah, this is the 5, the number 5. You know, it's grace. All of them, grace. You start the numbers. You start the talking. Okay, what other numbers are common? 11, 11, 12, 12, 7, 7, 7. Yeah. See, 7 in a lot. 11, 7, 11, 9, 11. 9, 11 is an immediate call to prayer. Whenever I see 9, 11, I'm like, Jesus, I'm praying. Whatever the emergency is right now, I just thank you, Jesus, that you're in control. You've got it. So I had a dream. Did anybody have a number dream that we can do? You woke up with a number. Okay, yes, I was hoping, Dusty. Come here on, come on, come on, Dusty. Yay. Okay.
Don't get it.
Is it short, I hope? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I recently had some car trouble, and I had to take my car into Cindy's husband to fix it, and I had the dream that I came in to get the bill, and it was $4,957.
Okay. Now, was that the dream?
That's my dream.
Oh!
Oh, but in real life, it was cheaper than that.
Oh!
So, yeah, so, and he was, he called to tell me, he's like, it's getting worse. And I was like, well, I just had this dream that it was going to be
$4,957.
Okay. And then when he called me to tell me that it was fixed, he's like, and I was like, oh, good, it's way cheaper. That was way cheaper. And then I thought, well, then what did it mean?
Yeah, so a dream, when you, when
it
you
was
have
a warning.
No. but you were prepared, right?
Yeah, that I was prepared. Yeah.
You were prepared for 4,900.
Yeah, no, I was prepared for it to be almost 5,000. I was like, oh, that's a lot of money. Okay.
So your car, your vehicle, just like when I was at the shop. Now, listen, Jesus will speak to you in the natural and in the supernatural. He will speak to you in a dream, and he'll speak to you in real life. Like when my car was in the shop and I had the Harry Potter experience with the sign, you know, that was a natural. Okay, but he will also speak to you in a dream about something that's going to happen in the natural. So your car was in the shop, which is like our ministry in the shop, and you were going to take it to Cindy's husband.
Yes, I did actually.
What does Cindy mean? Because she could represent something. Cynthia?
Or Jeff. Jeff is her husband's name who fixed it.
Jay name.
Jay. Oh.
Jesus. I love it.
There you go.
Anytime there's a J name, we're like, J name. Jesus showed up. Does anybody have her phone, can look up Cynthia?
I
Moon? I think there's... Oh, maybe here. The Divinity Code has a name.
They do have a name.
Give me. Here.
I think
Watching from the Mount. Oh, my goodness.
Lofty from the Mount.
Say that again.
Lofty from the Mount.
Well, who's lofty from the mount?
Cindy.
Jesus. Well, we are watchmen. We are the church, right?
Right.
So, lofty from the mount. The Lord has put us in a high place as watchmen for people. And so, Jesus, you are going to take your car to Jesus to be fixed. And then the bill, who handed you the bill?
Jeff.
So Jesus handed you the bill.
Slid it up, just slid it right there. Slid it.
And you saw it. So 49.
49.
Think
five,
of 49.
Seven.
So you can divide up numbers any way you want to because we have
I
some.
I know that. Seven times seven.
Times seven.
Which is a double.
Yes.
Doubled.
49.
Yeah.
57. Five is grace. Seven is perfect number. Seven again.
Seven again. So
seven,
then there
seven,
would be
seven,
three.
So you got
seven,
three.
Seven, seven, five, seven.
That's so good. Oh, seven, seven, five, seven.
So it'd be
five,
seven,
seven,
five, seven if you simplify them out. What does that mean?
Oh, yeah, that's really good. You just research it. But 777 is Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Grace, right in the middle, you have grace.
Is it really?
So a healer handed
it's
you the bill.
Divine connections. It was about me meeting her.
That's
maybe not.
Amazing.
Maybe not.
Well,
maybe it is. I don't know.
We got layers going here.
We're really good.
That's really good. I love it. 777. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my dream.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you can dream numbers. So don't disregard those and try to write it. How many of you have ever been handed a check in the dream? A check? Like a check can be a check in your spirit, but it can also be an actual check. I've been handed money on a check, and it was like the zeros just went on and on. I'm like, yeah. I'm thinking of dreams right now. So I had a dream that I'm just going to tell this so you can learn from it because it's so simple. I dreamed that I woke up to this dream. My mother-in-law did not like my new perfume. And I woke up offended at my mother-in-law. Because now that's I woke up. That's embarrassing. We're drinking. Double time. So my mother-in-law, maybe that's prophetic. The Lord is just magnifying right now. So we just thank you, Jesus. My mother-in-law, what does your mother-in-law represent? Does anybody think of that? I love my mother-in-law, by the way. Awesomeness, yeah, that's right. We love our mother. I love my mother-in-law. She's awesome. Says the daughter-in-law. In-law. In-law. What's in-law? Legalism. Okay. Mother can represent the church. The church in legalism hates my perfume. hates the fragrance of the Lord that is around me. That makes it really easy for me to go into a place that I know hates my perfume. I'm like, I'm not. So, see, that was a warning to me not to be offended. Do you see what I'm saying? I woke up with offense, and I'm like, Jesus, my goal in my life is never to be offended. Never. I don't want to be offensive, and so forgive me if I've offended you. And I don't want to be offensive, and I don't want to take offense. So my whole goal is never to do that. But I want to be careful. Yeah.
So, I don't dream in numbers.
Okay. Today. Yeah. She's gonna bring it.
Thank you. I don't dream in numbers per se, but one time I had a dream. You know, when it just sticks with you, yeah. And you're like, that was from the Lord. And I woke up, and I was, frequently I get tours of my heavenly mansion, I don't know.
Yes.
And there were four little twin beds in the heavenly mansion. And I was like, okay, four kids, I have two. But then the Lord was like, well, but remember, you have two babies in heaven.
Oh, that's so,
so good. All of my babies, thank you, Jesus, are
so
going to be in heaven.
Amen. Yes, they are. Don't even have any doubt about that. That is right on. That was so good. If a number is repeated in a dream, like let's say, I'll tell the dream, one of the dreams that I have in the book that repeated. But let's say, okay, I dreamed I had two fish and there were two boats and there were two. You know what I mean? You're getting multiple numbers happening over and over and over. Pay attention to those. Write them down. And I can't think of one right off the bat. So another a dream that I had that we're still getting meaning from, which it is interesting, is one morning I saw a hand, kind of like Belshazzar's hand, but I saw a hand pointing to the number 17, and I heard. So I heard, saw, and was like, you know, participating with this 17, 17, 17. So I woke up from this dream, and it was 2017. So immediately I thought, well, what is it about 2017? Well, and nothing really big happened that year. So, which is really interesting too. I mean, things did happen, but you know, I couldn't nail it to that dream. So, so I told everybody this dream. I'm like, oh, okay, I had this dream, 17, 17, 17. I saw it, I heard it, I, you know, participated with it, and I was telling everybody. So one day I sit down to one of my pastors and I said, okay, I had this dream, and I'm telling, you know, about the 50th person, and I wrote on a napkin, I saw and heard, smelled the number 17, and as I wrote it out, I went, oh, that's the Hebrew letter, hey, hey, hey. Then I was like, oh. So then I started researching, and which means behold, 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 which means hey, hey, hey. You know, it's kind of like a shake up, wake up. But even just the other day, I looked up the word hey in a new word study dictionary that I had just happened to cross. And so I was reading, and it actually means hinenu, which is here I am, which is the name of my book. I was like, wow. So, I mean, a dream like that can go on and on and on forever, forever. It's just 1777. That's all it was. Well, I was not done with this one yet in 2017. This one came out in 2011. So here I am, the one you love. But I, you know what? This one, yeah, it did in a sense. It continues to build. This one just keeps going. But I will tell you that this book will always be my all-time favorite. If you don't know about it, it's like an encounter of heaven. You can just be on any page, and I can tell you the experiences that we had just writing this page. It was a download from heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that the angels are all around me. Thank you, Lord. And you can sit down, and I have therapists that actually give this to their patients. I have two therapists right now in Oregon that sell the book, but they also, if they have somebody they can't get across, get things moving it with, like if they're very traumatized, they give them this book. They're like, go home and read this to your children. And the one story that I love was that this man comes in and he goes, I couldn't. He was totally traumatized. He'd been left with five children, and he began to read this to his children, and he said, "I can't." He told his doctor, he said, "I can't get through this book. It's changing me." And he said, and he started to make progress after that. So it was like, praise the Lord. But it really is an encounter book. It's an encounter of heaven. Well, after I published it, I was out at Morningstar at Rick Joyner's, and I was like, the Lord just said to me one day, he said, "Stephanie, this is a soaking book." And I went, "Oh, yeah, it is a soaking." He told me all kinds of things. One day he goes, "Stephanie, this is fire camp in a book." And I'm like, "Oh." You know, you think you know what you're writing. No, you don't. It was like, oh, my goodness. So he has done so much. So before I stop, let me go ahead and just tell you, Defeating the Courts of Heaven. This Praying Medic, I've got several Praying Medic book bags. Can I just say Praying Medic is awesome? If you haven't started watching him on Internet, he's so much fun to watch. And you will learn so much from this man. So just talk to me about it a little bit. I love Praying Medic. He goes straight to the stuff. He doesn't mess around. That's why he's got some really short books. But there's some bigger books back there. He was an atheist until he was 37 years old. God miraculously pulled him out of that. And he said God encountered me. And then the Lord started telling him to pray for people in his ambulance. And he was like, at first he was like, "No, I'm not doing that." And then when he did, the Lord said, "Listen, Dave, pray for people. I'm going to heal them." And so he was like, you know, it took him a little bit. But also I have the Passion Translation back there. I still have quite a few copies. I have some large prints. Great Christmas gift. This Passion Translation, if you haven't gotten into it yet, there's just the simple single books back there as well, if you want to just start with that. So profound. Oh, my goodness. If you read one of your favorite scriptures out of that, especially in Psalms, it will shake your life. You will read it in a different way. Brian Simmons is a Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic translator. He was a Wycliffe translator in the jungles of somewhere. He's just an amazing man. So this book is powerful. The translations is just amazing. And so I just know you'll be blessed by that. So let's just pray one more time, and then we'll let you. I know lunch is going to happen soon, so thank you, hon. Let me ask the Holy Spirit. Let's ask real quickly if there's anything. Let me ask for a question before we pray. Is there any question that we haven't covered on dreams?
I kind of want to go back to that little girl and the grandpa that visited her in a dream, or maybe somebody else. So what about that?
Okay, thank you. That is a very good question. Okay, now, typically, if a family member shows up, you are going to have a brilliant feeling about it. This is if heaven is involved in it. I'm going to tell you this story, because when we were in India, we were in the dump, and we had all of these children. By the way, I got healed last night with her dealing with some of the trauma things I saw over children. So praise the Lord, the cat. And I thought I was going to weep tears, I thought I was going to grieve. It was joy. It was the opposite. I had an opposite heal. It was awesome. I just laughed and laughed and laughed. Anyway, so we're sitting with these children in the dump, and this little girl who was demon possessed. We knew she was demon possessed. We just weren't dealing with it right then, because you wait until the right time. And she was sitting on my fellow missionary's friend's lap, and we're just talking to her. And she said, "My mom comes to me every night and terrifies me." Now, does a mom do that to their child? No. So we said, "That's a familiar spirit." So we didn't tell her that, but I'm telling you that because you need to know that. And I said, "Honey, that's not your mama. Your mama loves you. She would never scare you." That's why I hate Halloween. I absolutely hate it. Nothing. Listen, my friends, we need to be the church shouting, "You never scare a child." Can we start screaming that from the rooftops? I'm so mad about it. I went into Home Depot and there's this wolf. My huge nails, blood hanging off. I'm like, come on, Home Depot. Oh, I was mad. You never scare a child. So we said, that's a familiar spirit. We command that thing to go right now in Jesus' name. It might look like your mom, might look like somebody you know, but it's a Derek Prince has an excellent, go to Derek Prince and watch on familiar spirits, because he has excellent, he'll lay down all the scripture for you. We don't have time to do it now. But if it's something that's coming to you and you're not getting a good feeling about it, or even a question mark is in your brain, go, God, show me. We need discernment. Lord, show me, is this a familiar spirit? Because the Lord will show you. He always says, try it, figure it out, discern it, right?
I have a question.
Okay. Right. Well, there you go. There's a good question. Because you should be asked, okay, so the story was, and I don't know if we're recording, but if the pastor was getting all these people calling in, giving him these dreams, and there's another dream, there's another book, The Witchcraft in the Church. Read that book by Patricia King. I've got it back there. What happens is a dream can attach to our soul, and we can start thinking, oh, I'm going to get, you know, now I'm not saying this pastor was, but I'm just saying the enemy can send dreams to sidetrack us off of the true thing. It's never money. The Lord's like, what's money? Go, yeah, say what? Okay. She's got more.
You said the enemy sent the dream.
Oh, no, the enemy didn't send the dream. I'm sorry.
Didn't.
The enemy will get us off track.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he will even try to get us off track by hearing a dream that's, you know, like money. Now, provision is awesome. We all have to have provision. God always provides all that we need. You're right. The enemy did not send the dream.
And also, well,
thank you.
I'm not sure if it's about even, like, I'm so sorry, you guys. I just got so touched today. I'm having a hard time.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, I can do this. So that sometimes when people, that's in their soul, the enemy can, he can show, God can show us our idols in our soul.
That's right.
So
good clarity.
If there's idols, you know, that this is what we want. The money, the big, the Lord will, yeah, you want to see your idols. And, you know, so people could show up and say all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So we want to be very careful.
I want to go back to that one.
Okay.
That one question there.
Yeah.
Because I just got some clarity. You know, I am so careful about familiar spirits because I had my sister actually had one show up and she thought it was really the person. Like in the natural, this dead person showed up in the hospital room and she was conversing with this and she thought it was so great. And I was just like, no, you know, that's not her. That's a demon. And so, but I believe in the goodness of God would open up heaven and let a child see the goodness of God and where, you know, the truth about the her loss. You know, it's just God's opening up vision.
Right.
And so that's the difference. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You'll know by the characteristics.
Oh.
Yeah. Good. Right. No, what this did was brought healing to this child. If something comes from heaven, you're going to know that's from heaven. If it's something from hell, you're going to know it's from hell. If it brings up question marks, it brings up all these things, you're going to go, whoa, I don't think that's it. Yes.
Well, I have a question about what she's saying.
Okay. Right.
God could speak to a prophet to speak to the
right.
Pastor.
It's true.
So it might be, but that's saying, it might,
not be bad. So we want to be very careful with that, because if the pastor himself is not getting confirmation in his own heart, which that's what we really want, is because the pastor needs to make decisions according to his own heart and what the Lord is telling him.
But biblically, mm-hmm. in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. New Testament, do we see examples of God revealing wisdom that I need to have?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All over the Bible. All over the New Testament, too. Yeah. Absolutely. But we do have to line it up with the Word of God. We do have to go back and say, Lord, you know, is there... I've had a lot of prophecies of money being handed now, and I have to say, Lord, every once in a while I'll say, Lord, wait, is there any idols in my heart that this is hooking into? I want to be sure, because I don't have any. And it's really cool over time how the Lord has settled that whole issue in my heart. I didn't even care. You know, I'm just like, whatever. I think it was
Janet. It could still be a parable, though.
It can be a parable.
Because money is something valuable that you're being given. Mm-hmm. And it could be. So when you were talking, I just sensed you didn't feel good about it at all.
I didn't.
Just because the pastor wasn't confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, very good. Yeah. Well, that's our thing. Yeah, right, no. And that was good. So we want to be careful, and we want to honor our leadership, but we want to help them. So
yeah, so money is something valuable. And you've been, and even if, let's just say this was good, this was all good, and you felt good about it. Because if a church isn't being enlarged, it could be actually people coming. It could be the value of
right.
it. It could be the, you know, the glory, all of the good things that God was bringing. If that's,
if
you know,
good.
If it was a good, you know, because it's so important that we discern.
Right.
And so.
So we don't want any twist in those
yeah,
things.
But when you see money in a dream, it absolutely could just be something of value.
Right.
God value. You know, we just think it's money. Oh, great, we can get this and this, and we can bless, and we can do.
Right.
But, you know, it's a parable, so we have to pray into what that really means.
Right. One more question or comment.
What if you have a dream and it actually happens?
If you have a dream and it actually happens. Well, this happens all the time. So just like she went to the shop. Yeah. And so if there's a specific, let's talk about that in a little bit, and we'll let everyone go. But many dreams will actually come true. You have a lot of them. And that's good. That's part of the seer gift, I believe.
Yeah.
Because if you have a prophetic, you have a dream that actually comes true, then you have a gift from heaven of another way of seeing, or another way of prophesying what's going to happen. A vision, what is a vision? Anybody know? It can be just before you go to sleep. Have you had something where it's just before you go to sleep, something plays out, either a small storyline or something, or a story, or you might see a picture or words, or just before you wake up in the morning and you're almost awake. Or you can have an open vision during the day. You can be awake, fully awake, and you can see a mini movie in your mind. I tell that in that story. Here I am, the one you love. So that's vision. So, but a dream is when you're fully asleep. That's the difference. All right, I'm going to wrap. Okay, so let's go to that next slide, and then let's pray. Let's stand up. Because I pray this has been helpful and good for you. And I believe that we are living in the days where we need to be the Daniels of our day. We need to be the ones who are the best at this, and we need to grow in it. So I've given you tools. We've given you some tools. We gave you the beginner guide. We give you the toolbox, because that will train you in getting the word. Oh, whoops, Daniel. Okay, yes. So what happened in Daniel was that Daniel, remember Belteshazzar, the story of Belteshazzar and the handwriting on the wall? And Belteshazzar's, no, Belteshazzar, Darius, Nebuchadnezzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, was it Darius? Darius saw Belteshazzar? Maybe it was Belteshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar was already gone. So, anyway, here I wrote this. This was a chapter in the book. Read the back. Okay. So, because I forgot what I wrote, because it wasn't me writing it. So, so his wife, anyway, the king's wife came in and said, look, you idiot, Daniel has an excellent spirit. Call Daniel. He'll know what the meeny-meeny-tickle-a-parson means. So if Daniel could do this, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, that's their Hebrew names. We love them, and Daniel was his Hebrew name. Notice they never changed Daniel's name because his name, they wanted to call him another. They were all names after other gods, and they wouldn't do it. So here's what we're going to pray over you right now. So I want you to put your hands out. Father, we thank you right now that we are the Daniels of our day. We are the ones who you have called. We are the Hananias, the Azariahs, the Mishaels. We are the ones that you are speaking to with dreams. We are the ones. We are the ones that you're saying, go, don't let anybody else go to a psychic. We are the ones. So, Lord, we are the ones who want to be available. So, Father, we ask that you will train us now. There's a harvest coming in. What are we going to do with that? We're going to get good at it. We're going to get good at the spiritual gifts. We're going to get good at hearing from God. We're going to know what the angels are doing. We're going to know what prophetic healing is. We're going to know what prophetic art is, because we need to be the creative ones. We need to be the ones grabbing pictures and pulling it down. We need to be the ones who bring down inventions. So, Father, right now, I pray right now in this room that you will bring down an excellent spirit, that you will give us an excellent spirit so that we will have knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, clarify riddles. Lord, there's been problems that need to be solved since the beginning. Lord, we ask that you will give us the solving ability of riddles. We ask, Lord, that you will help us solve problems or enigmas. An enigma is a problem that's been around forever that is so confusing that there's not even a proper way to put it out. And I think of math, because there are some problems in math that they are trying to solve. Come on, believers, we're the ones. It can be written on a wall, and we need to write it down and then say, here, I don't know what this is. I would say, I don't know what this is, but I think it's a solving of a problem. So we need to know what to do, Lord. And so we ask, Father, that you will help us to have to problem-solving ability. And, Lord, we ask right now for inventions, because, Lord, we're not in this for the money, but we are in this to fund the kingdom. So, Father, we ask that you will deal with our idols in our hearts, so that we will not be money grabbers, but rather we will be kingdom grabbers. We will be kingdom builders. We want to be the ones who are saying, I'm grabbing a hold of the kingdom. I'm grabbing a hold of kingdom theology of understanding, and I am going to build the kingdom with the gifts and the wisdom, the creativity that you give us. I just saw a canopy bed that is absolutely brilliant. It's like, the banner over us is love. So I just sense that the Lord right now has extended his canopy over us. And I see things dripping down off of this. And it's like a bed. Because the more we're intimate with the Lord, the more we're... if you have a sex dream, here's great teaching. The Lord would love for me to say this right now. If you have a sex dream, in America we've sexualized everything. Jesus looks at sex as the closest way to get to somebody. And intimacy is different than sex. And so when you have a sex dream, you're in bed with somebody, think about it not in a sexualized way. We have, the enemy has totally distorted and ruined it in America. We just cast that thing off. And we take the intimacy of the Father, the intimacy of Jesus, and we just unravel that whole lie of the enemy that makes it into something it's not. I just saw pillars coming down from heaven. We just thank you, Lord, for the pillars. Actually, they look like aspen trees, but they're coming down all over the place. So, Father, we are your trees. We are the ones who stand and they're connected by the root. Oh, aspen trees are the largest systemic, the largest living organism on the planet, actually, are aspen trees. So that's the body of Christ. Because we are all connected by the root. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I see is the tree trunks. I can't even see the tops of the aspen trees. So that's so good. Praise the Lord. I just sense that the Lord is sending us angelic help right now. Lord, I want all of that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the canopy. Thank you, Lord. We just say yes to the gifting. Lord, I got to get better at this. I need to be better. I want to hear clearly more. I want to be more accurate. I want to understand your ways. Jesus, I need your word to come inside of me. I want the gifts. Lord, I have asked that the word of God be completely downloaded like you did with not Joel Osteen, but his dad, John Osteen. John Osteen had the whole Bible downloaded, and he memorized it just like that. Lord, we ask right now. We need it. Lord, help us. But Lord, help us also to be diligent and memorize the word. We want to be diligent on our side. But Lord, also, we ask. We ask, Lord, as we obey, that you're going to give greater than we can even ask. So we just thank you. My parents went to church in John Osteen's garage. So maybe I went in the womb. I don't know. But I'll take it. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just wait for a second because the presence of the Lord is here. I just actually sense that the impartation is here for dreams, so thank you. That's what's coming down. It's like lace around the outside of the canopy is coming down. It's like one of those like king beds. This is like a kingly. I'm going to Germany next week, so I can't wait to get into the castles and see the amazing things they have in those castles because it's so much fun. But they are stately beyond. So think big, man. Think bigger than you think. It's amazing to see what they have in those castles. So, Father, we just thank you. Glory. Take a big deep breath of just the presence of the Lord. We need the oxygen of heaven, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just give you all praise. Thank you, Lord, that you give us an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, to clarify riddles, to solve problems. Jesus, we want it all. We need it all. This is a world that's lost, and we know that you want us to be the church, the real church. And Lord, we just thank you right now for the giftings. We just give you all glory. Lord, I pray for each one in this room that has participated. So the angels are really strong in this room right now. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you that you're bringing gifts from heaven. We just give you glory from the filling station of heaven. All we have to do is invest in the Lord, and you just give back gifts upon gifts, gifts inside of gifts. Glory to Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the filling station dream that John had from Jesus and David, his son. Thank you, Lord. We just glorify your name. All right. Is there anything else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the angelic. Thank you for the angelic. Lord, we just thank you right now that you have sent angels with us and that, Lord, you command angels to go with us and to teach us, even bring things from heaven to ascend and descend in this place. And God, I just pray that everyone in this room will go home with way more than they expected. We just thank you for the multiplied gifts that are coming out from this filling station. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and praise and all honor in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.